Good morning and welcome. God bless you for being here with us today. We just want to give God our glory, our honor, and our praise for being able to gather one more again, as my family would say, one more again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. So let's begin with just a few announcements. A reminder that prayer happens every Wednesday. Prayer happens all the time, all throughout the week, every day, all day. But we come together as a body of believers and pray in one accord, specifically for things that are challenging either our friends, our family, our coworkers, our nation, our city, our state, right? So join us. We do that through Zoom. You can log on and we can see each other, or you can call in, you can dial in. Join us. And if you can't join us, we ask you to put in your prayer request into our GroupMe, message us so that we can be lifting up your concerns to the Lord. You can also find that Zoom link information at our church website, galescreekchurch.com. A reminder also, Wednesday is a popular day. That's when our food pantry is open for people in our community. Gleaners Ministry is operating that. So if you know someone who has a need, please refer them to our Gleaners Ministry. There's a couple of ways to reach out. You can reach out through the Facebook page. You can reach out through the website. If you know Sherry or if you know Sister Helen, please reach out to them and we can help you in that way. Any other announcements? Oh, yes. Save the date. October 23rd, which is actually my mother's birthday. I'm doing that to honor my mother who passed away last year. We'll be having the pastoral installation service. So please join us at 3:30 that Sunday afternoon and come celebrate God's move in our lives here, in our congregation here at Gales Creek. So please come. We'd like to share that moment with you. All right, it is now time for us to pray, and then we will sing together God's praises. So join me now for a word of prayer. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for salvation itself. We thank you for all the many things you have blessed us with. Thank you for clothing and housing and transportation, for employment, for the opportunity to retire, for health care, for friends and for family, all of these things and many more. We pause right now to say thank you, God. And we take this opportunity, not lightly, because there are some around the globe who don't have the privilege to gather together publicly in your name. So we thank you for the opportunity to be able to do that. And we praise you. We lift up your name. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds to the word that you have for us today, that we can go forth and shine your light. Let this world know that you are the true and living God. In your holy name we pray, amen. All right, thank you, our song leaders. Thank you. I was thinking in my head she'll do the call to worship, but then I thought, oh no, I should probably do the call to worship. So please, if you can, stand with us and read our call to worship. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Let us all read together. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.
Here we go.
I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
His spirit washed.
praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day.
You know, this is an opportunity, sister. Have you ever taken a moment to think of the blessings God has blessed you with? When I go and see Dan Kroom, I say, God bless you. And he says, he already has, Bill. That's powerful. So as we are returning just a little bit what God has blessed us with, let's just really think about this moment of blessing God. Father God, we want to lift the giver up to you. Bless our gifts back to you, and may we be blessed by you in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jeremy?
I'm getting my thoughts, Lori. Yes. When Ivan called me last night and says, Bill, would you please do offering and prayer for us? And their prayer is that Landon and Dawson have checked into the COVID, and they had to rush them to ER. They're home now. Landon has a deep cough. We've heard his cough before, and he's struggling, but he's doing good. Their fevers are broke, and that's a praise. My sister-in-law, Anita Marble, that's Charlie's wife, has come down with COVID. They've been in Europe for, 5 weeks, 4 weeks? We're blaming Europe for it. But we were going to lift up those three. The families involved, absolutely. We had a mini family reunion yesterday. I want to praise all my family that I got to see, and her cousin Kathy and her husband Neil, I think it is, from Missouri. And so we had a wonderful time. I got a praise. And I'm going to be, some of you know that I can be kind of drama. So I'm going to sit down, and I am putting along, going down Highway 47. I get pretty close to the turn off on Elm Street on the right-hand turn. All of a sudden, boom! I can't see anything. I get shoulder off on the shoulder of the road very quickly. And here my hood had broke loose and broke my windshield. I got a nice, beautiful, artistic spider web and glass on my windshield. Fortunately, I didn't get hurt, just started the jeepers out of me. And I'm praising God that I didn't get hit or hit somebody, because I could see that much underneath. But I got this big dent in the hood, Donna says that car's been a dent magnet, so I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm praising God that I'm okay. I'm praising God that I'm okay. All right. Are there any other requests, please? You know, Linda, you said it perfectly. Linda shared with us how she is so blessed by the church family. What a blessing. We are truly blessed. We were talking about the blessings of people helping behind the scenes. And we're blessed by Scott, who does communion for us so patiently. Thank you, brother. There's many, many others, Lori and Linda and our wonderful friend up there who's looking down at us is Debbie, who does our slideshows, and Jean's helping with the sound today, and we're working hard trying to get things for your installation, sister. I'm working on the sound. But God is patient. I wish I had the patience of him. No, I know better than asking that. Yeah, I wish you could see Sister Tree's eyes. She's going, Yeah, I can't do that as well. Because my eyes get in that old book where they're looking like they're sleepy all the time. Anyway, let's go to word of prayer. I want to just say, yes, Debbie. I'm doing a praise. If we were doing sign language, they couldn't hear us. Amen. Debbie is sharing that the closing on the house is coming up very soon. She's accepted the offer. And we are, woohoo, praising God right there. I have a couple co-workers at work that cannot hear. So it's very interesting to me in my make-believe sign language and I have to be careful what I might sign, you know, because if you do this one, I learned this one a while ago, and this is kind of humorous. That's not it. So you want to be careful what you say. But anyway, they both are Christians. And this one is one can speak. She can't hear, but she can speak. And she'll say, I praise God that you come to me and say, I love you in God's name. Whoa, I get goosebumps. All right, that's enough of me. Yes, thank you. We have four of our wonderful ladies down in women's retreat. I was down there just a little while ago, but we want to pray for traveling mercies for them too. Yes, this is Dan and Becky's 40th anniversary. Pray, continue prayer for Dan. His chemo, he's having quite a bite with this cancer. Jeremy? Okay. All right. I'll try remembering that. Jeremy's prayer request is that he has a longer time to eat lunch because he's so busy. Oh, the kids have a short time, and it's hard to consume your food in 12 minutes, 10 minutes. I think they should be allowed to graze the whole rest of the day or something. Anyway, God, please help me remember all these prayer requests. Father God, we just want to praise you, Lord, that we can come to you and lift praise up to answer prayer with Debbie's house, with Jeremy coming up and asking for prayer requests for the kids in school, for the lunch time to be shortened, lengthened, that where they have ample time to eat. We pray, Lord, that praise you, Lord, that we have a church body, that we pray for each other, we love each other, and we are encouraging each other throughout the week, Lord. Lord, I just want to lift up Landon and Dawson and Nita to you right now, who are fighting with this COVID, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you be with Jim, just be with Jim Nichols, Lord. I recently saw him, and I was in Safeway the other day, and he just is really appreciative that people say, hey, I'm praying for you, and I just want to praise you for that and pray for him continually. And Lord, there are so many others, Lord, forgive me if I miss any, but we want to just give you the praise and the glory right now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all his people said, amen, amen. We don't have children present today. I don't know if you practice the song. I was working on the sound. But I'm going to tell you something. We are the children. We are the children of God. We're not adopted. We are the children of God. Father God, a special blessing to be upon Teresa as she brings the word to us. Bless her heart. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise God. This is a good start for a glorious day. God is so good to us. And I'm grateful for, as Sister Linda was saying, for our family, for the family of God. You know, sometimes we take it for granted. Lord, forgive us when we do. But we have a faithful family. People who actually care about us, right, Sister Vicki? They pray for us. If we ask for something, they try to figure out how to solve the issue so we can have our needs met. That's what the family of God is about. And caring for the children, caring for the young ones. Again, blessings on those who are working with our youth. Blessing on those who are working with our houseless and those in need of food insecurities. Thank you, Sister Helen, for being a blessing to our community. Amen. Amen. This is what it's about. It's about coming together and shining the light for our Lord and Savior. So I know if you've been following us out there in our social media world, and those of who have gathered faithfully in our sanctuary over the last few Sundays, you've probably noticed we've been reading a lot in the book of Luke. Luke records many of the lessons that Jesus teaches his disciples. And today we're going to continue in the book of Luke. But I will warn you, Sister Vicki, Jesus really socks it to the listener today. At first glance, you're going to think he's lost it. Jesus has finally run out of examples, so he's resorting to using the bad guy as the hero. So I know, it's like, wait, what is he doing now? So turn with me, if you can, to Luke chapter 16. I'll be reading from the Message translation. Luke chapter 16. We're going to start with verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was once a rich man who had a manager. He got reports that the manager had been taking advantage of his position by running up huge personal expenses. So he called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? You're fired. And what I want, a complete audit of your books." Wow. So the manager says to himself, "What am I going to do? I've lost my job as manager. I'm not strong enough for laboring a job, and I'm too proud to beg. Ooh, I've got a plan. Here's what I'll do. Then, when I'm turned out into the street, people will take me into their houses." Then he went at it. One after another, he called in the people who were in debt to his master. He said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He replied, 100 jugs of oil, of olive oil." The manager said, "Here, take your bill. Sit down here, quick, now. Write 50. To the next, he said, "And you, what do you owe?" He answered, 100 sacks of wheat." He said, "Well, take your bill. Write in 80. Now, here's a surprise. The master praised the crooked manager. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. That would mean the people who follow Christ, who follow after God. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. This is Jesus speaking. I want you, followers of Christ, to be smart in the same way, but for what is right, using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials so you'll live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior. Verse 10 says this, and Jesus went on to make these comments. If you're honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? No worker has two bosses. He'll either hate the first and love the second, or adore the first and despise the second. You can't serve both God and the bank. Isn't that something? You can't serve them both. That's what Jesus says. Now, didn't that sound like Jesus ran out of examples? I mean, why in the world is he telling people to be like the bad guy? The bad guy in the story is stealing stuff, Sister Susie. I don't know if you noticed that. He's using his boss's money for his own stuff. Like, oh, I got a cell phone bill to pay. Oh, let me use some of this money. I always did want to go to Paris. Oh, let me borrow some money to do that. Oh, my kids. Like my kids in real life. Somebody said they're supposed to be a blessing, Brother Bill, but I mean, they're in my wallet constantly. I'm not sure how that's a blessing. Oh, right, it's a blessing to give. There you go. That's where the blessing comes. Okay, so, you know, he's using his boss's money to foot his own bills and other things. So why, again, would Jesus use him as an example? Now, I can imagine the religious leaders looking at each other, shrugging their shoulders and being like, wait, did he just say what I think he said? And then someone answered, yeah, see, I told you. The boy ain't rap. He ain't rap too tight. He ain't bright. I told you nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And here you are. Oh, he's the Messiah. Mm-hmm. See, look at him. Sitting up telling these good people to follow after the bad guy. What kind of Messiah would do that? Now, to gain understanding, you've got to keep listening. Those who were there, they were probably like, wait, what? When Jesus said that? But he didn't end there. He kept talking. So you have to keep listening. And in our case, you know, we have to keep reading because we have it as a written text. So you see those words, huh? He's commendable? You have to keep reading to allow Jesus to explain himself so we can actually learn the lesson. What's commendable about this man using someone else's money to foot his bill? So let's review it, shall we? Jesus tells a story about a crooked manager who gets caught cheating, right? And then he ends up getting fired. Now, the lesson is don't cheat so you won't lose your job. That's actually not the lesson. Although some would think, well, shouldn't that be the lesson? Don't cheat so you don't get caught and then end up having to pay for everything. Surprisingly, that's not the lesson. Jesus surprises us and says we should be like the crooked manager. Ooh. So, right, Sister Linda, what in the world? What are you saying, Jesus? The crooked manager has been cheating his employer. Scripture doesn't name exactly how he's cheating, but describes him as running up personal expenses. So it alludes to, yeah, he's borrowing the money and paying his own bills. What makes the story unbelievable is that, first of all, the owner's response. The owner doesn't bar the crooked manager from the premises immediately. So like, if you get caught stealing at work, they're not going to be like, okay, we're going to give you to the end of the week to collect your things and cash out your box. No, they are getting security and escorting you off the premises right here, right now. But that's not what the owner does. It's very interesting. Instead, the owner tells him he's fired. You know, you're going to have so many days left. And then he says, I want an accounting of all that you've been doing. So he's actually asking for an audit. It's like, wow. He wants him to prepare a report and, in the midst of that, gather his belongings and get his things ready to move out. So now, in those days, a landowner rich enough to have a manager would have the manager live on the premises. It's kind of like today, if you live in apartment buildings, there's usually some type of a property manager on site, right, that you can go to and say, oh, my faucet's leaking or whatever, and so that person takes care of it. Similar idea, they would have that person live on site and manage their things. So this is why the manager says to himself, oh, man, because, you know, he's not just losing his job. He's actually losing his housing where he actually lives. So now he's got to gather up all his goods, his family that relies on him, and move out. Where is he supposed to go? Wow. So now, again, I would have kicked him out that day, changed the locks on all the doors, snatched the financial records that he had on him, and sent him on his way. Because why should I give you a few more days? You're probably just going to go and doctor up the books some more. But that's not what the owner does. He gives him time to get himself together. The owner allows him to stay a little while longer. Now, so this actually gives the crooked manager time to get a plan together of what he's going to do, right? How he's going to survive, where he's going to move to. He's got to find another job. Where's he going to live, and all the things. So this is why Jesus commends him and tells his disciples they need to be like the crooked manager. Not because he's using someone else's money, but because of how shrewd he is, how wise he is. Look at what he does. He calls the owner's debtors in and offers them a discount on their debt. So whatever they can pay, he collects it, so he can then include it, that collection, with his final report to his boss. Now, what's wise about these actions? What's wise about that? Well, it's twofold. First, he ends up collecting a portion of his employer's money, right? So it's not like he just let it all go. I'm like, okay, well, I lost my job. Let me just get my things and make the report that he's wanting from me, and then I'll move on. No, he says, okay, I am going to call people in and get whatever amount of money I can out of them. He's got a plan of how he's going to do this. So whatever they can pay, he collects it. And this collecting of a portion is better than nothing at all, right? So second, by offering the discount to the debtors now owe him a favor. Well, how is that? Well, once he's kicked off the owner's property, he can then ask the people who he helped for a place to live. They can provide him with food. They will essentially repay him for the favor and the kindness that he extended to them. Now, you have to admit, for a thief, he is pretty smart. And he admits to himself he's not cut out for manual labor. So look at the scripture. He looks at his hands and he's like, I just got my manicure. There is no way I'm going to go out there and start digging ditches with those people who do construction. I can't do that. No. And his pride, Sister Carolyn, is not going to allow him to make a sign, a cardboard sign, get the Sharpies and write some message and get his coin collector and sit there and beg on the streets for people to pass by and toss him coins. Not going to do it. He already knows. Can't do that. Not skilled. Plus, that would make my back really sore at the end of the day. And I'm not going to beg. So what are my options? Now, some of us are still wondering. Now, I'm confused. So he gets the money from the peoples, hoping that they're going to return the favor so that once he is out on the streets, once his boss actually lets him go, okay, I can kind of see that. So then they're going to return the favor. They're going to let him live with them, or they'll maybe bake bread for him, bring bread to the family. But how does that apply to what Jesus is saying of how the disciples should act? Okay, I know, because it's confusing. So let's make the lesson plain. Jesus advises the disciples to use their talent to create relationships that will be eternal. Do you see the connection? The manager, in his conniving ways, realizes, oh, I need to make relationships with the people who have things so that I will benefit and they will benefit. Jesus is saying, I need you to be salt and light. I need you to get out into the world, use your gifts, use your talents, build relationships with people, not just to gain something from them, but so that both of you will gain eternal life with God. Because if you shine your light, if you're using your talents to God's glory, guess what's going to happen? The people around you are going to go, wow, there's something happening over there amongst those people. Let's go see what's happening. And they build relationships with us. They become our friends. They get to know who God is. And after this world is done, we will all be in heaven together. So Jesus is saying, I need you to use your gifts, use your talents for God's glory. The manager used money and forgiveness of debt in order to build relationships that benefited him in the long run, but also benefited those people who were in debt. So Jesus is saying to us, we've got to use our gifts, our talents, whatever we've got in our hands, as God said to Moses, well, what have you got in your hand, Moses? Moses looked in his hand and he saw the staff. He goes, well, then let's use it. Whatever you have, my friends, let's use it for God's glory so that we can gain forever friends. it's a shame to know a lot of people and have all this wonderful family and you be the only one up in heaven. Like, that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we let others know who God is. They see him in our life, daily lived. We don't have to pretend to be super holy. We don't have to talk about how much we love God. We show them. We live it out in front of them so that they can understand and see it for themselves. This is what Jesus is calling and trying to get his disciples to see. I need you to be wise. Wise as serpents. Oh, but so kind and so gentle. So gentle. Why? Because you need to be smarter than the devil himself. You need to be able to see when he's coming. And so instead of returning a harsh word, when people are coming at you with harsh words, you go, oh, I see you, devil. And I'm not going to take the bait. Instead, what I'm going to do is be kind. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be forgiving. I'm going to shine my light. Not for my glory, because if I had my druthers, I'd be kicking you in your shin. But I'm doing what God is calling me to do, which is sacrifice my will every single day. It's hard to do it, but that's what God is calling us to do. He wants us to use our gifts and our talents so that we teach others about God and let him use us to reveal his glory to them. And so this lesson actually builds on a previous lesson on the cost of discipleship. Remember, salvation really isn't free. It's paid for. And if you choose to follow Christ, there's another payment, life for life. You're going to give up your life, Sister Lori, to follow Christ. And so it builds upon that lesson. If we're going to lead others to Christ, we have to be willing to use all of our stuff for God. And what is the stuff that you have? Sometimes if you dig in your pocket, it's going to be $5 that you got in your pocket to share with that person who's asking because they're hungry. Without judgment, without, I hate giving people stuff because I know they're just going to do drugs. Don't assume what they're doing. Just say, you know what? Lord, you gave me $5 and I know I could use it some kind of way, but I feel you asking me to give it to this person. So I'm just going to give it to that person. And you can say these simple words, Sister Vicky. God bless you. And keep it moving. You don't need to entertain, well, now what's your name? And where are you going? How are you planning to spend this $5? No. Freely give. And keep it moving, because you never know how God is going to reveal himself to that person in that moment, in that time, just by your simple, simple way of responding to God's request and being obedient and giving up your $5. Now, for some people, it won't be your $5. It might be your time. Oh, dear. Here comes Sister So-and-so. They always take a long time to explain whatever it is that they're wanting. Don't get caught up in being impatient because they're going to start talking to you, blah, 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 blah. Focus. Ask God, okay, Lord, I see Sister So-and-so coming. Help me to be a good listener. Help me fill my mouth with the words that you want me to say to her. And help me, Lord, to pray the right things so that you can actually love Sister So-and-so and receive Sister So-and-so with patience and kindness like Jesus Christ receives us. I can only imagine sometimes, Brother Wink, that when Jesus sees me coming, he's like, oh, dear, here she come. One more again. Here she come. Ooh, she's got a lot of ideas, lots of ideas. Lots of prayer requests. And she likes to tell me what to do. Here she comes. But you know what? Even though he knows I'm bossy and I'm trying to tell him how to run the world, and you need to go over there and save so-and-so and do this and do that, and why are they bothering me? He's still patient. He's still loving. He's still kind. His salvation never wears out. That's the beautiful thing about God. And so if we are truly allowing God to use us to be just like him, we must have patience with the human beings around us. So instead of defaulting to, ooh, let me try to go the other way so I don't have to be stuck for 35 more minutes, embrace it. It really is okay. It's an opportunity for God to use you to be salt and light. So Jesus is saying, be shrewd, be wise like that manager. Look for the opportunities to build relationships. Look for the opportunities to use whatever gifting you have. It might be your money. It might be your time. It might be your talent. Some of us have lots of talents. We don't just have one thing that we're good at. We're good at several things. How are you using those things for God's glory? Now, the bad thing that the manager was doing, he was using his skills to manipulate the resources of another person for his own good. God doesn't want us doing that. You know, we've talked about this before. You can play instruments beautifully and people are going to pat you on your back. Oh my goodness, that was so lovely. They're going to love your voice. Oh, that's so wonderful. I love to hear you sing. And you can take in all that glory. Pat yourself on the back, right? Because you're oh so good. Or you can stop and say, thank you. I'm really trying to use God's gift for his glory. I'm so glad you were blessed by that song today. Right? And even if you don't say that, just say thank you and keep it moving. And in your mind, know, thank you, Lord, for using me today to bless your people. But if you're always looking for your own glory, Jesus says that's what you're going to get. Because, you know, people will bless you. They'll say, oh, Helen, good job. Awesome sauce. And they'll keep it moving. And the next day when you're thinking, oh, I found favor with them. Now they're my friends. Psych. You were good yesterday. Don't mean you're good today. Don't nobody care. They've moved on to the next thing. They've moved on to the next thing, Brother Gene. Now, see, Brother Gene just retired. Don't think for a moment that they're going to reserve his position and say, Gene worked here. And we're going to honor him for the rest of... No, they are going to fill that position as quick as they can. On to the next. On to the next. So Jesus says, I want you to focus on those things that are eternal. So sometimes that means giving up the stuff that you got in your wallet, in your pocket, in your house, your talents, your time. Use it to build the kingdom. That's the cost of discipleship. Sometimes it's going to mean that we give discounts and forgive people who actually owe us. You got to be like that manager. Okay, I'm going to give you a discount today. I'm not going to charge you in full. Because you need something and I need something. And as followers of Christ, we need to be able to extend grace and forgiveness to others. Even when in our minds, honey, you do not deserve it. But we do it anyway. Because the ultimate goal is to see them in heaven. How will they know anything about forgiveness? How will they know anything about patience or grace if they don't see you modeling it for them? They can't believe in this idea of God unless you actually show them. And the best way to show them is by living your life before them, inviting people into your life and letting them see your flaws and saying, yeah, you know what? I'm not perfect. That's not why God loves us. He actually already knew that we were imperfect, which is why he gave us Jesus, his Messiah. So that despite our imperfection, if we believe, we will all be in glory with God for eternity, when this life is over. And so this is why Jesus says to his disciples, I really want you to live. And look at the words. He says, really live, not just get by on good behavior. He wants us to take risks. The larger the risk, the larger the gain. And I know sometimes it's scary to take a big risk because it's outside of our comfort zone. And we want to stay over here where it's comfortable and the things that we know. But God is saying, oh, dear one, if you would just trust me, use your gifts, use your talents, use what I've given you and move out of your comfort zone, you will see that great things can happen. So this is why Jesus concludes with telling his disciples, if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the big ones. Listen to his words again. If you're honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? Jesus wants to trust us with the bigger things. But first, he has to find us faithful in the little. That's what he wants from us. So I believe that this is a timely message for us here at Gales Creek. God has found us to be faithful in the little things. And so now he's wanting to entrust us with more, Sister Susie, with more. So it's up to us now. Each of us has to think about what we are willing to risk to further build his kingdom. Not for our glory, for his. Are you willing to be creative, as Jesus said to his disciples? That manager, he was creative. He was bold and brave. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to not focus on what was lost, the things of yesteryear, and how things used to be done, and let go of the past so we can reach out for the future? We must know, church, in order to get to the next level, that requires sacrifice and commitment to God in a new way. Not a commitment to our own desires, but a new commitment to God. God is with us, and he will supply what we need. We have to trust him. That's what he wants from us, to trust him. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you again for your word. Such a simple lesson where we look at it and go, wait, what? You can't possibly be asking us to be like the bad guy. But even in all of our faults, you still find a lesson. And so thank you for the lesson. Help us to be found faithful and willing and courageous and wise and smart like that manager who was crooked. I know you have big things for us, Lord. So I pray that you would help us to be courageous, to step out of our comfort zones, to look to you and to rely on you to reveal to each of us what gifts, what talents, how we can use our time, our money, everything that we have in us for your glory. Help us, Lord God, to do those things. And for those who are still seeking to know who you are, they're not really sure about this God they keep hearing us talk about. Oh, God, move in their hearts. Reveal yourself to them so that they will know you are the God of all gods. You are the true and living God. And that you love them and you want them to be a part of the family so that they can live in eternity with you. We thank you, God, for saving each one, for those who are listening, those who support us, who are not here in the building, but they watch faithfully each week. They pray for us if they're not watching. Thank you, God. Bless them. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's close with a song. Our song leaders will lead us. Thank you. And our musician.
And we are very thankful for our musician.
To those lyrics. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, know that the very Spirit of God is inside each of us. Amen? Those who name the name of Christ, He lives inside of us. So I want you to be encouraged to know that He is with you, He is for you, and it is not just for your salvation. It is so you shine your light so that others may be saved as well. So go in God's grace, go in His peace, go in the empowerment of His Holy Spirit. Until we meet again, God bless you and keep you.